Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other series. Right now, we're doing The Amazing World of Radio with a great espionage series, Top Secret. However, you can also go back and check through all of the programs we've done, including our tributes to Jack Webb and Kirk Douglas and Julie Bennett, as well as our baseball series. And then we have The Summer of Angela Lansbury. So much stuff we've done over there. Just check it out, amazing.greatdetectives.net. And then there's our World War II podcast, thewar.greatdetectives.net, and the video theater, public domain video theater, videotheater.greatdetectives.net. And we'll even be playing some Dick Tracy movies on public domain video theater, so be sure to look out for that. Well, we are going to get into Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy debuted as a comic strip by Chester Gould in 1931 and became one of the most famous comic strips of the era and for decades to come. When you talk about adventure strips, shorthand for that, in so many different contexts, people will talk about Dick Tracy. That is a recurring theme. Have you read Dick Tracy? You'll hear it in so many different programs that were made at the time, and movies as well. And you also see it in movies and television shows that are set, say, in the 1940s or 50s. It was such a huge national phenomenon. 3 years into the strip's existence, it came to radio in 1934 over the New England NBC network before coming to CBS on a nationwide basis in 1935, and then switching over to Mutual till 1937, and then was picked up by NBC for 1938, and would stay there till 1942. During the NBC years, it featured Ned Weaver in the role of Tracy. He's an important actor, and we will talk more about him next week. But this was a serialized drama, and it was targeted towards younger audiences. But this actually ranked pretty high among adults in terms of their favorite programs in 1938. So we're going to go to 1938, February 8th and February 9th for two episodes of Dick Tracy. The first one is Black Pearl of Osiris.
Calling all adventure fans, calling all Dick Tracy fans, stand by, Dick Tracy is on the air.
The makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the two tempting, delicious, nourishing cereals that are shot from guns, now bring you another thrilling Dick Tracy detective adventure. Big guns. Hear them? Well, the next time you have a big dish of crisp, nourishing Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice for breakfast, remember the sound of the big guns, because those two delicious cereals are actually shot from guns. Sun-ripened grains of nourishing wheat and rice are loaded into the guns, and then these little kernels of grain are exploded to 8 times their normal size. That makes them look different and taste better than ordinary cereals. That special Quaker process makes puffed wheat and puffed rice specially easy to digest, so that you get trigger-fast food energy more quickly and easily. And you need lots of quick food energy if you want to be as fast on your feet as your friend Dick Tracy is. And here's a good idea. Puffed wheat and puffed rice are two different delicious flavors. So ask Mother to get a package of each at the grocer's. And then you and Mother and Dad can have Quaker puffed wheat for breakfast one morning and Quaker Puffed Rice the next. That really gives you variety, doesn't it? So look in the pantry today to see if one of those famous red and blue packages is there now. If it's Quaker Puffed Wheat, ask Mother to get a package of Quaker Puffed Rice. And if it's Quaker Puffed Rice, ask her to get some Quaker Puffed Wheat. And then you have both for a delightful change that thousands of wide-awake boys, girls, and grown-ups enjoy every day. And remember, fellows and girls, there is another secret code message at the end of the program today. So be sure you have your pencil, paper, and code book ready. Dick Tracy has been trying to protect Dryden Small, a well-known Egyptologist, from dark forces which seek his death. Small has received strange warnings, and several times his life has been attempted unsuccessfully due to the daring efforts of Dick Tracy. Both Dick and Pat are convinced that Small has kept from them the real reason for these mysterious attacks. In our last episode, we heard how a strange message, seemingly written by an invisible hand, had appeared on the wall above Small's bed.
Let's see what the invisible hand is writing. Your hour's at hand. Your end is near. The black pearl of Osiris must shine again.
Yes, yes, and look there on the floor. It's another scarab, Tracy. Another scarab.
Yes, so I see. Another symbol of death and destruction.
Why don't you do something? But it's no use. You can't fight the supernatural. They told me there was a curse upon the tomb of Tutankhamun. I should never have gone into it. All the others who have been in it have come to sudden death.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Small. There's nothing supernatural here.
I know, but Dick, the writing on the wall, we saw the message being written.
Yes, sir. And now look, it's beginning to fade. Ghost writing, that's what it is. The handwriting of a ghost.
Oh, come, come, Small. Pull yourself together. This isn't the work of a ghost. The man with a yellow face, whoever he may be, paid a visit to this cabin in our absence.
How do you know he was here?
Why, it's simple enough. The scarab on the floor, he left it there. The handwriting on the wall, he put it there.
No, no, no. He might have put the scarab there, but the handwriting, that couldn't have been done by anybody human. We saw the message being written, and there was no one here.
Of course there wasn't. The message was written before we got here. We saw it when we turned on the bed lamp.
I don't get it, Dick.
Pat, put your hand over that lamp, about 6 inches away.
All right. I've got it there now.
What do you feel?
Nothing but heat.
Ah, precisely, heat. The heat from the lamp. Do you recall ever having used heat in connection with invisible messages before, Pat?
Oh, why, sure. Say, I get it. This message was written in invisible ink and couldn't be seen until the heat of the lamp brought it out on the wall.
Go to the head of the class, Pat. That's exactly what happened here. The man with a yellow face wrote his message in invisible ink. Small came in, turned on the lamp, and in half an hour or so, the heat from the lamp brought the message out. There's your supernatural for you, Mr. Small.
You make it sound simple.
It is simple. If the rest of this case were as simple as that handwriting, we'd have no problem. But it's not simple, Small, because you choose to make it difficult.
I choose to make it difficult?
Yes. You refuse to tell us all you know about this. You refuse to tell us what we've got to know if we're to protect you against the man with the yellow face. There's a definite reason why you're being followed. There's a definite reason for these attempts on your life, such as the one in the dining salon tonight. There's some reason for these scarabs and that message on the wall. Now, what is it?
I'm sorry, but I don't know any more than I've told you.
And I've told you once, and I'll tell you again, that you're not being entirely truthful.
Now, look here.
I want you to tell me the meaning of that message about the Black Pearl of Osiris.
Yeah, that was a queer one. What is the Black Pearl of Osiris anyway, Dick?
I don't know about the Black Pearl, Pat. I do know, however, that Osiris was a god worshipped by the ancient Egyptians. And that even today, there are certain secret societies which still worship him.
Hmm. Your knowledge of Egyptian history is remarkable, Tracy.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know quite enough. But you know what I want to know, Small. What is the Black Pearl of Osiris? I demand an answer.
I don't know, Tracy. I swear it. If I knew, don't you think I'd tell you? I feel rather faint. I wonder if one of you would mind going up on deck with me. Just for a little while.
Well, I had a date with her.
All right, Pat, you'll have to forget your date. I've got to see the captain at once. You'll have to stay with Small. Keep close to him on deck, and don't let him out of your sight.
Okay. I hope I get a chance to explain to that girl that I didn't mean to disappoint her. You feel better now, Small?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Patton, the air is doing me good.
Looks like we're going to have a fog. You can see wisps of it floating past the binnacle light up there.
Yes.
You know, Small, you really ought to come clean with Tracy.
Patton.
Yeah?
That man leaning against the rail. He just looked this way, and his face...
Well, what about his face?
I'm not sure, but it looked yellow.
Nah, take it easy. Don't start getting jittery. Don't begin seeing a yellow face in every passenger on this ship.
Look, he's moving away from the rail. He's disappearing into the fog. What was that? Something dropped at our feet.
Yeah, I heard it. Let me see. Hey, here it is. What? Why, say, it looks like a scarab.
A scarab? Patton, it's another warning. That was the man with the yellow face.
Yeah, we'd better get down and get to your cabin. I'll get in touch with Tracy.
No. Not back to the cabin. I'm afraid to go there. Let's stay in the open.
Okay, but I better get Tracy here as quick as I can. Come on over by the light.
What are you going to do?
Well, Dick's in the captain's cabin. I'm going to send him a message. A message in code.
Well, come in, Mr. Tracy. Glad to see you.
How are you, Captain?
Worried, Tracy. Very much worried. I'm glad you're here. I don't like the things that have been happening on this ship of mine.
Well, I'm sorry about the need for searching the ship, but you must understand, Captain, that at any moment, one of your passengers may be, well, put out of the way.
That isn't what I refer to, Tracy. There are other things that are wrong.
Such as?
Well, have you heard about what's been going on down in the hold?
The hold?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. What's happened down there?
One of the crew, a fellow named Weeks, was found about an hour ago, totally unconscious.
Unconscious?
Yes, lying in the door of the storage room. Not a strong fellow. As a matter of fact, he has a weak heart. That's why we have him down there. All he does is check the books and little odd jobs like that, you know.
Yes, but what made him unconscious?
Well, according to his story, Tracy, as he was approaching the storage room, he noticed the door was open, which was unusual. As he began to investigate, he suddenly saw, standing in the doorway itself, a strange-looking figure. The next thing he remembers, he was lying on a cot, and the ship's doctor was working over him.
Huh. He's not given to seeing things, is he?
I don't think so. He's a stable, dependable fellow. At any rate, he's never seen things before.
Well, in that case, I don't think it'd be a bad idea to investigate that storage room. Now, about the search for the man with the yellow face, Captain.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about that, Tracy. We don't seem to be making much progress. Matter of fact, Tracy, we're not making any progress at all.
Yes, I was afraid of that.
Oh, excuse me. Come in.
There's a message for Mr. Tracy, sir.
Oh, give it here. Where did you get this?
It was given to me by a gentleman down on deck A, sir.
Thank you. Excuse me, Captain.
Yes, certainly.
It's a code message from Pat. Prisoner 20, 21, 12, 16, 7, 10, 18, 22. Will you excuse me, Captain? I've got to join Mr. Patton on deck immediately.
Nothing wrong, is there, Tracy?
I don't know. That's what I want to find out. And I've got to find out fast.
Well, I'll go along with you, Tracy. I've got to go up to the bridge, and this will be on my way.
Glad to have your company, Captain, but let's hurry.
We can take this companionway here, Tracy. It leads down to deck A.
Fine.
Deck A. I don't see Mr. Patton, do you?
No, but this fog is getting thicker. Mm-hmm. He may be down at the other end. Come on.
Well, I'll leave you here, Tracy.
Man overboard! Man overboard!
Man overboard, Tracy. Get down there as fast as you can. I'll see to watering the boats over the side.
Right.
Man overboard! Man overboard!
Hey, you there. Where is he?
Officer, this deck. Man overboard! Man overboard!
Dryden Small, what's happened here?
The man with the yellow face. Patton fought with him.
Yes, what happened?
Overboard. Patton was thrown overboard.
What? Pat overboard?
Wait, Tracy, what are you doing? Why are you taking off your coat?
Why do you think? I'm going after Pat.
Stop!
Don't! Another man overboard! Another man!
Fool, Tracy, they'll both be drowned! Patton and Tracy, too!
Will Dick save Pat? Or has the detective's friend been swallowed up by the black waters in the night? Dick will save him if anyone can. But now, the makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, those two popular, delicious, quick energy-giving cereals that are shot from guns, invite you to attend another meeting of the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol. Here comes Dick Tracy Jr. now.
The 20th meeting will now come to order, patrol members. And let's be sure we all have pencils and paper ready to take down today's secret code message.
Are you going to give Dick Tracy's friends the message that Pat sent Dick today, or have you a special secret patrol message, Junior?
Oh, both, Mr. Quakerman. First, I'm going to repeat the message that Pat sent to Dick Tracy.
Good. Are you ready, patrol members? Here it is.
Prisoner 20, 21, 12, 16. 7, 10, 18, 20, 2.
Once more, Junior, to make sure everyone got it.
All right, Mr. Quaker Man. It's prisoner 20, 21, 12, 16, 7, 10, 18, 20, 2.
Fine. And now what's the special patrol message, Junior?
Here it is. Are you all ready? It's Buffalo. 21, 12, 14, 10, 12, 4. 10, 20, 13, 3, 6, 10, 20, 13, 3, 21. 1, 8, 14, 5.
Better repeat that one too, Junior, I think.
Okay. Ready, everyone? It's Buffalo. 21, 12, 14, 10, 12, 4. 10, 20, 13, 3. 6, 10, 20, 13, 3, 21. 1, 8, 14, 5.
Well, that sounds very important, Junior.
It is. It's a special order for patrol members.
But how about the fellows and girls who aren't members and can't decode the messages?
Well, we can't very well give away the patrol secret.
Of course not. I can't imagine any real wide-awake boy or girl not joining, can you?
Not unless they don't know how to join on the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol. So maybe you better tell them, just in case there are some fellows and girls listening in for the first time.
Good idea. Well, here's how you can join the patrol and get the secret code, the patrol pledge, and the membership badge so you don't miss any of the fun. Just tear the tops off two packages of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, or one of each. Put them in an envelope with your name and address printed on a plain piece of paper and mail them to Dick Tracy, Box L, Chicago.
Then you get in on all the secret detective activities, too.
And Dick Tracy sends you a secret code book, a patrol pledge, and a special badge, all free. Tell Mother how those nourishing, delicious cereals are shot from guns to make them specially easy to digest. So ask her to get you some Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice at the grocer's.
Calling all adventure fans. Calling all Dick Tracy fans. Stand by for another exciting Dick Tracy adventure tomorrow at this same time. That is all. All adventure fans, calling all Dick Tracy fans. Stand by. Dick Tracy is on the air.
The makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, those two delicious nourishing cereals that are shot from guns, now bring you another thrilling Dick Tracy detective adventure. And there go the big guns, reminding us all that puffed wheat and puffed rice actually are shot from guns right in the Quaker plant. Nourishing grains of sun-ripened wheat and rice are loaded into the guns, and then they're exploded to 8 times their normal size. That's what makes puffed wheat and puffed rice so specially easy to digest, so that you get their trigger-fast food energy much more quickly and easily. And that's important if you want to think fast and act fast like Dick Tracy does. And if you're a loyal Dick Tracy fan and friend, check up on the pantry at least twice a week to make sure there's always some puffed wheat or puffed rice there. Look to see at the end of today's program, and if there isn't one of those famous red and blue packages in the pantry now, ask Mother to order some from the grocer's. She's sure to be glad when you remind her of something so specially good for breakfast. And then you and Mother and Dad can join the thousands of happy families who enjoy Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice every day. And be sure you have your pencil and paper ready for today's secret messages. Get them now. When Dick Tracy closed the case involving the Baron and the substratosphere airplane plans, he paid a visit to Scotland Yard, and here the great detective found a new mystery. Dryden Small, the well-known Egyptologist, was returning to America with certain treasures which he had discovered in the ancient tomb of Tutankhamun. Small had reason to believe that someone was trying to kill him, and Tracy was asked to protect him on the voyage to America. Sitting in Small's cabin the first night out, Dick and Pat were startled to see a strange face peering in at their window.
Mr. Tracy.
What's the matter, Small? What's wrong?
Look, there, the window. The man with the yellow face.
The what?
Dick, great Scott, look. That awful face at the window.
It's gone now. Come on, Pat, we've got to find out who it is.
Yes, and why are we staring through that window? Oh, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone.
We'll be back in a moment. Here, through this door, Pat. That'll bring us out on deck.
I don't see anyone.
No, neither do I. We'd probably waste our time if we tried to find out who it was now. It's got too much of a head start, and it's too dark to recognize anyone. Come on, we might as well get back to the cabin. There are a few questions I want to ask Dryden Small.
You know, Dick, there's something about that tomb digger Robert that I don't like.
Well, we're here to protect him, not to make a friend of him, Pat. What I want to know is why he was so secretive. He hasn't told us the whole story by any means, Pat.
What's your theory, Dick? What do you think he's trying to conceal?
Well, I'm not sure. But I think perhaps he stole something from Tutankhamun's tomb, something which might be considered very sacred. And those who consider it so are trying to get it back. That's only a wild guess.
Well, it doesn't sound so wild to me.
Well, Mr. Small, we couldn't find a trace of your friend with the yellow face.
Mr. Tracy, I must say I'm surprised. You promised me protection, and then you run off and leave me alone. Why, I might have been murdered.
Oh, nonsense. We were nearby. Nothing could have happened to you.
I wish you wouldn't treat this so lightly. You may not realize it, Mr. Tracy, but I'm in very serious danger.
I don't treat any of my obligations lightly, Mr. Small.
I tell you, the people who are after me are very clever. Not only that, but they have at their command all the forces of evil and black magic.
Oh, so it's black magic now,
yes,
is it?
Yes, black magic and worse, perhaps. A curse has been set on me. I know it. I feel it. I'll never escape from it. Never.
Small, precisely what are you taking back to the States with you?
Not a great deal. Some ancient pots and utensils used by the pharaohs, a fragment of the great seal, and also the mummy of Tutankhamun's second son.
The mummy is stored in the hold of a ship, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And what else are you bringing back with you?
Nothing but those things I told you about.
Are you sure of that?
You don't believe me, do you?
To put it bluntly and briefly, no.
You think I'm holding back something from you, eh? Well, I'm not. I'm not, you hear? I've told you everything. Everything. I don't know why they want to get me any more than you do. But I know they're after me, and you've got to help me.
I'm not so sure of that. I'm not so sure that I'm not going to rid myself completely of all responsibility in this case.
What? What do you mean?
I'll take the trouble to explain for the last time. When you go to a detective and ask his protection, you've got to tell that detective just what you're afraid of and what he's got to protect you against. Now, Mr. Small, don't withhold any information from me. Because in this case, too, it may mean the difference between life and death.
I've told you everything. I swear it.
Who is the man in the yellow face?
I don't know. I don't know any more about him than you do.
From the way you spoke of him, you've seen him before. The man with the yellow face, you said. Do you know him, Small? Have you seen him before?
Yes. Yes, I have.
You were right all the time, Dick. He was holding something back.
Where did you see him before?
Several times in Cairo, once in London. I don't understand it. I'm not sure I know how to explain it. But it seems I saw him every time I received one of those scarabs. Those scarabs which mean death and destruction for those who receive them. And the only time I saw him in London was at the theater. The usher handed me a program as I came in. When I opened it, there, folded in between its leaves, was one of the scarabs. At that very moment, I happened to look up at the boxes. And looking down at me was the man with the yellow face.
What else do you know of the man with the yellow face?
That's all.
I don't believe you, Mr. Small. You know who he is, and you know what he wants.
I tell you...
Now, let me warn you once again. If anything happens to you, you'll have only yourself to blame. Because when you had the chance, you wouldn't tell us everything you know. And now, shall we go down to dinner?
Coffee, sir?
Oh, yes, please. By the way, Small, do you still carry that pearl-handled pistol?
Yes, and I shall never part with it.
If you ask me, it's much too dainty to be any good.
I'm afraid it isn't very much to depend on.
This pearl-handled revolver has been with me a long time, Mr. Tracy. I intend to hold on to it.
Hello. The lights have gone out.
Dynamo must have failed or something.
Certainly pitch black in here.
Tracy! Tracy! In the name of heaven!
Small, where are you?
He's struggling with someone.
Help, Tracy, help!
I can get my hands on whoever it is that... Ah, got him. Give me a hand here, Pat.
It's so dark, can't see a thing.
I've got hold of someone. Well, can't see who it is.
There go the lights. They're on again.
Small. Why, I was holding you all the time.
Who do you think you were holding?
Well, all I could do in the dark was to reach out and grab.
My throat, it hurts. Someone tried to choke me.
Yes, there are marks in your throat, all right.
Grabbing hold of me did one thing, anyway. It scared him off.
Yes, Small. This time he was scared off. I wonder if I'll always get to you in time. I can't protect you from something that's nameless, you know. Something you won't tell us about.
I've told you everything.
Now look here, Small. Tonight, you had an example of what might happen. And apparently you're still unconvinced that telling me everything you know is the only sensible thing to do. Now for the last time, will you talk up? Well, how about it?
I've told you the whole truth.
Very well. I've done my duty. I've warned you.
Hiya, Dick.
Oh, hello, Pat. Where you been? Walking about on deck?
Yeah. Isn't it a beautiful night?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Hey, met a girl strolling about on deck. Miss Foster, her name is. Oh, boy, what a girl. She's swell platinum hair and... Say, what's the matter with you?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
You got something on your mind?
Yes, Pat. And his name is Dryden Small.
Where is our friend Small? Or should I say our small friend?
In there.
Asleep?
Reading in bed, I think. Pat, I'm more than ever convinced that he's keeping something from us.
Hey, Dick, maybe the guy's on the level. Maybe we're just imagining things. Maybe someone is trying to get hold of some of the things he took from Tutankhamun's tomb. Small says they're very valuable.
They're valuable, all right. And that's one part of his story, I believe. But whatever the man with the yellow face is after, there's more than just a few trinkets taken from Tutankhamun's tomb.
Well, I wouldn't spend too much time worrying about it. Our job is to see that Dryden Small reaches America safely. Once he puts foot on American soil, our job is done.
No, Pat. I'm afraid it isn't as simple as all that.
Well, why do you say that, Dick?
I've been telling Dryden Small that unless he tells me everything, I'm going to give up all responsibility for his safety. Of course, I'm not going to do that, either while he's on this boat or after he lands.
But if he doesn't cooperate, why should you bother with him?
I've got to stay with Dryden Small until I'm sure that he's out of harm's way. We've had to protect uncooperative people before.
You know, Dick, there's something about this whole business that gives me the creeps.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that, Pat.
When we were chasing Max Gold or the Baron, we had something we could get our hands on. But what have we got here? Nothing but a face seen at the window. A figure that strikes in the dark. Yeah, Dick, I don't like it.
Well, I'm not exactly delighted myself, Pat. But we policemen have to learn one thing. Not to turn away when there's an unpleasant job to do. Doing the things we like to do is simple. Doing the things we don't like to do that proves whether or not we're men capable of holding down a man-sized job.
I guess you're right as usual. And I'm glad you jacked me up. Oh, look, Dick. It's my turn to sit up with Small tonight, but I was thinking that maybe...
Yes, Pat?
Well, you know, the girl I met on deck, Miss Foster, I said I'd meet her in the ballroom for a few dances at 10:30, and, well, I sort of wondered if...
All right, go ahead. How will you get back?
Thanks, Dick. I won't be very late.
That's Tracy.
Yeah? What is it, Small?
Come into my bedroom one moment. There's something I want to show you.
What's the matter with you, man?
Come.
He sure looks funny to me, Dick.
All right, come along, Pat.
In here. Look. The wall above my bed.
Holy mackerel, Dick. Look. Someone's writing a message on the wall. Look, it's being written right before our eyes.
You see it, too? I thought I was going crazy. It's an invisible hand writing something on the wall. I can't escape it, and you can't help me. This thing is too big for us. It's too powerful.
Oh, the saints preserve us.
Take it easy, you two. Let's see what the invisible hand is writing. There. It's evidently finished.
Yes. And look what it has written.
Your hour is at hand. Your end is near. The black pearl of Osiris must shine again.
Yes. And look, there on the floor. It's another scarab, Tracy. Another scarab.
What is the meaning of the strange message on the wall? And how is it written? It's a puzzler, all right.
But now it's time for the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol meeting. The makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the specially delicious, nourishing cereals that are shot from guns, invite you to attend.
The 19th meeting will now come to order, and today the members of the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol congratulate the Boy Scouts of America on their 28th anniversary.
Let's all stand at attention, patrol members, as a tribute to that great boys' organization.
Boy Scouts of America, we salute you.
Fine, Junior. And now, patrol members, have you got a pencil and paper ready for the special secret code message? All right, Junior, let's have the message.
Here it is. Prisoner 25-9-3-20-11. 26-21-8-17-16-20-8-16-3. 8-18-15-4. Did you get it? I'll repeat it again just to make sure. Ready? It's prisoner 25-9-3-20-11. 26-21-18-17-16-20-8-16-3-8-18-15-4.
Now you can decode that secret message with your Dick Tracy secret code book. And remember what it says, patrol members, it's important.
You know, Dick Tracy wants you to be as good as he is at decoding messages, so we're sending you a secret message every day this week.
Be sure you have your code book, a pencil and some paper handy every day when you tune in on Dick Tracy. And listen, if you don't have a code book, join the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol now, so you won't miss all the swell secret detective activities and good times. Now here's all you do to get your secret code book, your patrol pledge, and special badge. Just tear the tops off two packages of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice or one of each. Be sure it's the top panel that says, Three Wrappings Guard Its Crispness. Then mail the two box tops with your name and address to Dick Tracy, Box L, Chicago.
And you have the time of your life in the Dick Tracy Secret Service Patrol.
So ask Mother to get you some Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice at the grocer's. Remember, they're the two delicious, nourishing cereals that are shot from guns to give you trigger-fast food energy.
Adventure fans, calling all Dick Tracy fans. Stand by for another exciting Dick Tracy adventure tomorrow at this same time. That is all.
Welcome back. Well, a good quality cliffhanger to end on, and a lot of questions still to be determined. Overall, I did enjoy the first couple episodes of this story, and I can't wait to find out what happens next week. Well, some listener comments and feedback, and I received an email regarding the airmail mystery, and this one comes from Mike, and Mike writes in, I hope this email finds you well. News reports are saying the coronavirus is spiking in Idaho, so I wish you good health and continued safety. Well, thanks so much, Mike, and appreciate your concern. It definitely is a big issue up here, and I've been taking a lot of precautions, and I'm still working from home as far as my day job is concerned. And even though our state is, as of this recording, in phase four of reopening, and my county, you know, rolled back to phase three, I haven't changed like a ton of things I was doing when we were officially locked down. So not a big adjustment for me. When we did go on vacation, we actually went to an Airbnb on a piece of property in a rural part of the next county over, and enjoyed the relaxation of not being in an urban setting while this was going on. But I appreciate your note on that point, and we're taking all appropriate precautions out here. Next, he writes about the airmail mysteries. I really enjoyed the airmail mysteries the first time around, and even enjoyed them even more the second time. Both times, though, I was struck by the fact that the lead investigator was a woman, recorded almost 90 years ago when most Americans believed that a woman's place was in the home. Irene Delroy was not only in charge of an airmail investigation, but working for the Department of Justice, no less. I like to imagine young girls in the 1930s huddled around the family radio thinking, I can do this too. Quite a progressive series for the time. Well, thanks for that, Mike. And that definitely does stand out because she, you know, really, you know, was in charge and, you know, would not take nonsense in the end from anyone. And in many ways, it was such an unusual, you know, set up for 1932. I don't know how many people actually ever heard it. I would love to have more information on this, where it came from, where it was produced, who wrote it. So many questions. But yeah, I would agree that it was definitely, you know, a bit ahead of its time in the way that it portrayed, you know, Irene Delroy. I have a question about missing episodes in general. The last time you aired Airmail Mysteries, I think there were 3 missing episodes. Now there is only 1. How are these missing episodes found? Are they forgotten in a vault somewhere and someone stumbles across them? Are there copyright restrictions? Though this seems unlikely that copyrights would only affect only a few episodes and not the whole series. I hope you can shed some light on this, not just for Airmail Mysteries, but for other series you shared that were also missing episodes. Thanks again for your continued hard work and for contributing to my sanity during these difficult times. All the best. Well, thanks so much, Mike. There were 2 missing episodes the last time we did the Airmail Mysteries. And that one, I think, was a situation where somebody had the episode, you know, and they were just able to bring it in. And a lot of times what we're dealing with missing episodes, copyright's not going to have anything to do with it. One way or another, that's not going to be the, you know, part of it. Essentially with missing episodes, I think you're dealing with a couple of, things. You're dealing, in some cases, with material that was actually found and at one point circulating, but has, been forgotten. One example of that, if you ever listened to Pat Novak for Hire, and if you ever got an older set, you know, like a CD with Pat Novak for Hire, and you listened to the last episode of that series, the ending is clipped, and it's really poor sound quality throughout. And that was the episode of Pat Novak that was circulating. But when I was going through the series a second time, I received an email from a listener. And they actually had it on an old cassette that they had gotten, I think, sometime back in the 80s or something like that. And the recording he had was great sound quality, and it was complete. So there are a few lost programs that, you know, because there used to be, you know, just a ton of different companies out there that would, you know, sell old-time radio on cassette or, you know, CD, but mainly cassette in like 70s, 80s, 90s, and they may have had the programs, sold the programs on their mediums, but their catalog, you know, when they went out of business, they didn't sell it to anybody. So those programs fell out of circulation. And then I think you do have a case of some material, you know, honestly, where it doesn't exist anywhere like most people would know about it, but there's some obscure website, and sometimes you just stumble on that, and you're able to bring that into wider circulation. But And we have a case of that with an episode where someone uploaded, like, just a ton of Armed Forces radio services programs a couple years back onto archive.org, never really explored or, you know, no publicity that it was there, but I found an episode of a series we played previously, so we're going to play an episode of that in a few weeks. So that, you know, that sort of thing happens. Beyond that, what we're dealing with most of the time with lost episodes is stuff that collectors have, either as like a first-generation recording from, say, a transcription disc that was originally produced for a series. A collector may have acquired, you know, some transcription disc of Dangerous Assignment or The Man Called X, and they may have it in their collection, and until they decide to get rid of it or until they pass and the heir is willing to sell it, it's going to be kind of obscure. And you actually have purchasing groups out there where they solicit memberships, and you pay an amount of money. It could be $10 a month, $5 a month, $30 a month, what have you. And they will acquire transcription disc and reel-to-reel tapes. And as a member of the purchasing group, you get access to those programs. And as part of the purchasing group, you're generally expected to not share those programs for a certain amount of time, just because being able to listen to it first and enjoy it first is one of the benefits of being part of the purchasing group. So that's kind of how missing programs are found and how they come into circulation. So at this point, there are still discs of programs that are lost that are out there somewhere, and, you know, we just don't know about them. And the way that the programs became lost is that really, unless you were dealing with a syndicated program like Box 13, they were never intended to be aired after the first time they went on the air or for something like the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. So there was no attempt to really archive most of this material. And most of what we have has just been acquired by collectors over the years, and with the advent of the internet, so much of that has just, you know, become available on a much wider basis. So thanks so much for the question, Mike, and I also want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Jim, Patreon supporter since January 2019, currently supporting the show at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thanks so much for the support, Jim. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X. Next Tuesday, another episode of Dick Tracy. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.